75 is a hymn of praise for God's just judgment. It fits well here after Psalm 74, and maybe they put it there purposely just to give a bit of a response to the earlier psalm. The sudden change of speakers, which you'll notice between verse 1 and verse 2, suggests a liturgical setting. We can't be certain of anything, but maybe the MC did one bit and then the choir comes in and that kind of thing. So let's take it. We give you thanks, O God. We give you thanks as we invoke your name, proclaiming your wondrous deeds. At the time that I determine, I will judge with equity. So there's the change of person. We are doing something, and then there's a response coming possibly from the priest who represents the deity, in this case Yahweh. But I've got that wrong there, sorry. It's not radically wrong, but that should be the one. I'll fix it for tonight. At the time that I determine, I, emphatic, will judge with equity. Why we know it's emphatic is that, as in many of these languages, I will judge, all you need is a verb form. You know, with the change on the end indicates it's the first person singular. But this puts ani. So I, and then the verb carries the I as well. So it's the double thing indicates you. So we give you thanks, O God. We give you thanks as we invoke your name, proclaiming your wondrous deeds. And then here, maybe after the last psalm, at the time that I determine, I will judge with equity. Not the Assyrian army or not the people who are making the big decisions now, but I will judge with equity. Isaiah 5:19. As are you who say, let him make haste, let him speed his work that we may see it. Let the plan of the Holy One of Israel hasten to fulfillment that we may know it. We want the answer now, but maybe the answer cannot come now. Maybe the answer. And is that because God's waiting to give the answer at the right time? I don't think so. I don't imagine God waits. I imagine the answer comes when we're ready. Sometimes we're asking a question, but we're not ready for the answer yet. We've got to go through a process till we're ready. And so I presume things happen when we're ready, or when others are ready, when the community's ready. I don't know. I can't see God up there feeding the chooks and just giving bits out as it pleases God, you know. At least I can't imagine that. You might be able to. I imagine that God is the constant and we're the variable. So, Ezekiel, thus says the Lord Yahweh, none of my words will be delayed any longer, but the word that I speak will be fulfilled, says the Lord Yahweh. These are both statements of faith of God's fidelity and constant love. That's not in question. What's in question is a lot of things. It may be that we're not listening, so we can't hear the answer. It may be that the other person isn't listening, so we can't get the answer. Even were the earth to totter with its inhabitants, I, again, anoki here, emphatic I will keep its pillars steady. It may look as though the whole world's collapsing for you people of Psalm 74, but I will keep the world steady. God's in his heaven, all right with the world. Somebody who said that, ever said that?
The British said that.
Yeah.
Robert Browning,
good. Verse 4, I say to the boastful, don't boast. I say to the wicked, do not fancy yourselves. Do not oppose the one on high or insolently confront the rock. For judgment is not from the east or the west. And be in Israel. East will have to be Assyria, all the people over that side, to the Tigris, Iraq, Iran today. Or the west, the people coming from the Aegean Islands or the Roman legions or whoever. Or the wilderness, and that's south, the Negev. Or the mountains, which is Mount Hermon, that's Lebanon, the north, in other words, south and north. No, it's God who executes judgment, putting one person down and lifting another up. Book of Sirach, similarly, that's a book of wisdom from the 2nd century BC. Ecclesiasticus, it's sometimes called in your Bibles. That's the Latin name for it. Sirach is the Hebrew name, because it's written by a man called Jesus, the son of Sirach. Yeah. But Ecclesiasticus, it's called because in the early church it was commonly quoted. It was the book of the church. It was their kind of wisdom book before they acquired their own wisdom books. Yahweh overthrows the thrones of rulers and enthrones the lowly in their place. Yahweh plucks up the roots of the nations and plants the humble in their place. Again, the image is clearly of God who's arranging everything. If you have an image of God as loving everything, then sometimes the arranging is actually being done by us, and badly. Luke 1:51. We recall the following New Testament. The Lord has shown strength in his arm. This is the Magnificat, isn't it? He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich sent empty away. Well, if you took the subject out and put it into our terms, the proud have been scattered. Powerful have been brought down, you know. These are the facts. And it's all within the providence of God that this is happening. And it's happening because of grace. But whether we would put the Lord as the subject, I don't know. Song of Hannah, I'll leave, because that's beautiful. That's the scriptural foundation for the Magnificat in the New Testament. And you can see very common similarities. And it says much the same idea, and it's first book of Samuel 2, verse 1 to 11. Luke was using that, or the early church, which the Magnificat is a hymn, probably from the early church. Whoever composed the Magnificat, and Luke may be quoting it and using it, placing it on the lips of Mary, or as some manuscripts have, on the lips of Elizabeth, so it's where it fits is a bit, it's probably Mary, but it's placed in there as a hymn in the staging of the gospel. Back to our psalm, verse 8. In the hand of Yahweh there is a cup, a jug filled with drugged wine. He will pour a draught from it. The draught, the wine. Remember Jesus saying, take this cup from me, but if I have to, I'll drink it. So it's an image of drinking a cup to the dregs and the pain of life and all that. So here's God pouring this drugged wine, image that comes right through the book of the Apocalypse, and here it is in many other. In other words, God is preparing a poisonous cup for the wicked. If that helps your imagery, go for it. But the key point I put there is that none of us can escape reaping what we've sown. If we do evil, evil will come from it. That's how it works. Jeremiah 25:17. I took the cup from Yahweh's hand and made all the nations to whom Yahweh sent me drink it. Take you back to Jesus' words to the James and John, the sons of Zebedee, a similar image. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? And they said, yes, we are. He said, well, you will. In other words, are you willing to walk with me and take the consequences of being my disciple? And they said, yes, we are, good and ill. And he says to Peter, am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me? Get the image? It's simple. It's a traditional image for living in a real world and taking the consequences of what we do. And if they're good, we may end up getting martyred. If they're ill, we may end up suffering the consequences, but we have to take it on and live with what we do and don't just sit down and make no decisions. All the wicked of the earth shall drain it to the dregs. If you want to read a reflection on that, I won't read it for you now. The book of the prophecy of Joel, chapter 3, verse 9 to 17, is a long text that uses that imagery in a similar way to our present psalm. But our psalm, verse 9, reads, "But I will rejoice forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. The power of the irreligious I will cut off. I shall raise up the power of the righteous." So is that the king speaking on behalf of the people? I don't know, but whoever's speaking, the meaning I think is pretty clear. And the word translated their power is actually in Hebrew, it's the word horns, because the horn of was considered a symbol of power. You know, and also another image is that the horn would be sounded, the horn of victory. So it would indicate, well, the horn indicated a lot of things in battle, but with a victory horn indicated, okay, we've won, gather and get the spoils or whatever. I think I'll leave that brief. Is that all right? Because I want to get through three psalms. So that's Psalm 75. I could go some New Testament reflections on it, but I think that's not a very complex psalm, so I'll take it as something that you can follow on your own. Okay? Thank you.